Indeed, the joy of the Lord is my strength. What about you? The joy of the Lord is your strength. On this note, once again, I welcome you, my beloved brothers and sisters, pastors, ministers and spouses in New Covenant Church Nigeria, youth pastors, youth leaders. I say good morning to you. We thank the Lord for meeting with us yesterday, and this will be the concluding part of this weekend's retreat for pastors and spouses and youth leaders. And like we've been told, tomorrow will be a joint service for every member of New Covenant Church in Nigeria from 9 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock. Just 1 hour service tomorrow. And so this weekend, the theme on which we've been discussing is the church in contemporary times. And we didn't say the contemporary church, because the church of Jesus Christ never changes. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his church is basic, built upon the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone of the Lord Jesus Christ. But while the church doesn't change, the environment in which the church operates, the environment in which the church exists, changes from time to time. It is dynamic. And in these times, contemporary times, this present time, we need to examine what environment we have, in what environment we operate, so that we can know how to really position the Church of Jesus Christ to fulfill the purpose in the heart of its founder, which is Jesus Christ. And so we said yesterday that we were going to divide our discussion into three. The first part, which we handled yesterday, was the state of the church. We examined the state of New Covenant Church globally and in Nigeria. And part two also, which we treated yesterday, talked about the contemporary times. We evaluated the environment in which the church operates, both globally and in Nigeria. And so today we'll be concluding with the third part of this theme, the church in contemporary times, the church's response to changes in contemporary times. The church's response to changes in contemporary times. In other words, since the times are changing, like men of Issachar, what should we do as a church? You have the privilege of leading a part of the Church of Jesus Christ. What must you do in your local church? What must you do in your city, in your town, in your village, to ensure that the purpose in the heart of God for the church in these times are fulfilled? The church's response to changes in contemporary times. And we are going to examine a story in the Bible concerning the early church, the church in the first century. Suddenly that church encountered a change. Very, very significant change. We want to see from scriptures what was the response of the early church to that change, the challenge of change they faced. So please turn with me in your Bible to the book of Acts of the Apostles and chapter 6. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 6. We'll read the first 7 verses. Acts 6, from verse 1 through verse 7. I'll read. Now, in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicolas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Verse 7. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. May the Lord bless his words into our hearts, in Jesus' name. So the church had just been born in chapter 2 of the Bible, on the day of Pentecost. First day, 3,000 people were saved. A few days or weeks later, in Acts chapter 3, 5,000 people were saved. So those who started as 12 became 70, became 120 in the upper room. Suddenly, within weeks and months, there were thousands. So they had a change. They had two main challenges because of the change. One was rapid increase in the size of the church. Rapid. From 120 to over 8,000 in a matter of weeks and months. The second aspect of the change they experienced was the diversity. Before this time, it was basically a Jewish church. Church of Jews ministering to Jews. But suddenly they had people from many nationalities, many races, many tribes. As you will see in the Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, many, many people heard them speak. And so many were getting converted. And so in this chapter, by chapter 6, the diversity had become so clear that some people felt left out. Said, you who are Jews, you are Hebrews, you've been here before. When it's time to distribute welfare, you neglect us. And so, what was the church's response to the challenge of change in the early church? Don't forget, the part three we are talking about essentially today is what should be our own response to changes in contemporary times. I want to see what that early church did when suddenly they were faced with challenges of change. One, the church, the early church, recognized and identified that there was a challenge. Worst thing that can happen to us as a church is not to understand that things are changing. The early church recognized and identified, yes, men and brethren, we have a problem on our hands. Men are problems, times are changing. Men and brethren, the times we are living in is different from the time when Jesus was here physically on earth. It's different from the time before the day of Pentecost. So they recognized and identified the challenge of change. Number two, they responded to the contemporary challenge. And what was their response? Two main things they did. One was delegation. Peter spoke and said, we cannot leave the word of God and continue to serve tables and distribute welfare to the needy. Why don't you choose among yourselves people? And so they chose, and the apostles laid hands on them and prayed for them and delegated responsibility to them. So, Pastor, are you here this morning? You can't do everything on your own. You've got to delegate. There are some pastors, they set up the technical, they check the generator, they check the media. They are everywhere. You can't be everywhere at the same time. You need to delegate. And you will see that the early church found three qualities in the people they delegated to. Three qualities. One was skill. They said, look for people who had wisdom. Verse 3. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Wisdom has to do with skill. There are people God has sent to you who have skills to do what you cannot do. And so these people chose, they delegated to people of skill. Some pastors feel comfortable only with people from their tribe, from their town, or that they know personally. No. Everybody who is born again is your brother, is your sister. You are their spiritual parent. So look for people amongst you who have skill in specific areas. The second quality of the people they delegated to was that they were spiritual. Not only did they have skill, they were spiritual. He said, look for people full of the Holy Spirit. So don't just look for people who have secular competencies. Look for people whose heart is filled with God. Those who love the Lord, who walk with the Lord, who have the Holy Spirit in their heart. So they delegated to people who had skill, who were spiritual, and number three, who had social relationships. He said, people, look, choose seven men of good reputation. You may have skill, you may be spiritual, but you are not good in social relationships. You don't relate with people well. People cannot relate with you. These people were of good reputation. Members of the church already loved them because they had relationship with them, so they could connect. They could fulfill their ministry. Men and brethren, you may have skill. You may be spiritual. If you are not good in social relationships, it will affect your ministry. And so they delegated to people with these three qualities. So what next did they do after delegation? They prioritized. They said, we will give ourselves continually, not a few times, not when we are otherwise not busy. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Verse 4 of Acts chapter 6. Oh, pastor, please get your priorities right. Your job is not to set up the technical. Your job is not to check the fuel in the generator. Look for people of skill who are spiritual, who have social relationships to delegate this to, so that you can concentrate on the word of God and prayer. But we will give ourselves continually. Continually. To the word of God and to prayer. And what happened? When the church gave adequate and prompt response to the challenges of change in their time, what happened? They had result. Verse 7. They had result. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. When they had the appropriate response, one, the word of God spread. That was spiritual growth. That was spiritual explosion. Revelation of God's word. Performance of the word in the church. The Lord did not permit the word to fall, of the pastor, of the ministers, to fall to the ground. Why? Because they had time to study. They had time to pray. So God is faithful, confirming our word with signs and wonders. The Bible says the word of God grew. Pastor, may the word of God grow in your life. May the word of God grow in your heart. May the word of God grow in your church. Oh, listen to me, my dear brother, my dear sister. The church is not a club. The church is not a place where you just speak motivational words. Your words must be baked in the power of the Holy Ghost. The word itself has inherent ability for performance. Give yourself to the Word. Studying the Word. Praying. And then when you come out, one thing I know about God is that what you do in secret, He will commend you openly. Your labor in your closet, when you come, you will become an oracle of God. People will say, Pastor, you said this last Sunday, I received it on Wednesday. Pastor, you said this last Tuesday, I received it on Saturday. The Word of God grew. The result of the great, of the appropriate response of the church was the Word of God growing to the disciples spreading. In other words, growth in the number of converts, in the number of disciples. Is your church on the same level it was 2 years ago? Something must be wrong. As I say to myself, I'm not condemning. Because when I studied my Bible in Acts chapter 2, verse 47, I don't know whether it's in your Bible, it says to me that, and God added to the church daily. God added to the church daily. As many as have been saved. Has God repented? Has God changed? If we do what we're supposed to do, the number of disciples must multiply. Oh, Makason Toria. I will read a scripture very soon, which I also, while reading in the last few days. Let me just conclude. The third was that the priests were obedient to the faith. They were not just people who were coming to church. They were not just disciples. They were ready to say, Pastor, what do you say? We will do. What the Bible says is what I will do. They were obedient to the faith. So when you take appropriate action, when as a church, all of us collectively and in your local church, you give appropriate response to challenges of change in contemporary times, God is faithful. Ours is to do what we ought to do. He's the one that specializes in adding increase to our efforts. The scripture I said I read early this week is Psalm 65, verse 13. Please turn there. It will be a good digression. Psalm 65, verse 13. I want to see whether you also believe what I believe when I read this scripture. Psalm 65, verse 13. Are you there? I'll read just the last verse in Psalm 65. It said, the pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are with grain. They shout for joy. They also sing. The pastures. I'm sure you know in the Bible, pasture has to do with the Word of God. Where the sheep come to feed, they feed on God's Word. If there is pasture in your center, if there is pasture in your pulpit, the Bible says it will be clothed with flocks. In other words, people will come to eat. Oh, where the carcass is, the Bible says the eagles will gather. Where the Word of God is fresh, oven baked, they will come. I remember when young Paul was sent out in Acts chapter 13 in his first missionary trip from the church, small church in Antioch. And he started preaching about, the Bible said, there was a time he finished preaching and he said, we are coming to hear this man next Sunday. And the Bible said, next Sunday the place could not contain people. And they were envious of him. They had to send him out of town. Because the pasture was rich. And so it was clothed with flocks. Flocks came to eat the pasture. Pastor, when the Word of God is in your heart and the Holy Spirit brings it through your mouth, flocks will come. The number of disciples will be multiplied. It also says the valleys are covered with grain. When there's good pasture and the flocks come, there will be grain, there will be provision. Money to erect your building, money to do, to go to missions, God will supply through the church. We don't need to do special fundraising. Write to unbelievers, give them envelopes. Please, we want to build our church building. Please, we want to buy a church bus. It says the valleys will be covered with grain. Grain stands for provision. And finally, those who come will shout for joy. Hallelujah. When the word of God is rich, when the Holy Ghost breaks it in prayer, every service will be celebration. Every prayer meeting will be celebration. Every Bible study, people will be going home. So one day, many years ago, one of my young brothers called me, maybe 10 p.m. on a Tuesday. He had gotten up. He said, "Pastor, that was a nice rev." I said, "Rev, are you revving your engine?" For the first time I had, maybe 12 or so years ago. He said, "No, revelation." He said, "Pastor, that was a good rev tonight." My young friends, they shout for joy. Eureka, I have found it. That is my solution. That is the solution to my problem. Oh, all that I've been facing in my academics, in my business. Oh, the word of God was revealed to me today, the way out. So we see in this story, Acts chapter 6, how the early church responded to the challenge they faced. So which means all of us, none of us should be static. We shouldn't stay where we are. Times are changing. We must adapt. The word of God will not be diluted. The word of God will not change. But the mode of delivery, what we do to respond to the changes. Something about change, my dear brothers, because the summary of what we're talking about this weekend is change. Contemporary times has brought changes you and I never envisaged. There are three main types of changes. One is developmental change that is leading to growth and progress that comes with its challenges, developmental change. The second is transitional change. Transitional change comes when there's leadership change in anywhere, corporation, family, and also in church. The pastor retires, somebody else takes over. The third is the most difficult and most challenging, is transformational change, where the leadership has not changed, but you want the organization to change. So before the organization can change, the leader himself must be transformed. So why it becomes sticky is that people have been there for 5 years, for 15 years, for 20 years, and you are now asking them to transform the church. They must first be transformed. What am I saying, my brother and sister? You must change for your church to change. You must be transformed for the church you have the privilege to lead to be transformed. Let me take us through history. One or two other challenges of change that the church had faced in over 2,000 of the history of the church. I'm talking of Church of Jesus Christ now. Number one, in the first century, the major challenge of change of the church was transiting from a Jewish church to a multiracial church. We just gave an example in Acts chapter 6. Transformation from a Jewish church to a multiracial church. And you see that the leaders of the church then struggled. They struggled. Peter, who was the major apostle, one of the major apostles of the church, had problems adjusting to ministering to non-Jews. God had to tell him when God sent a message to him for Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. And when he saw that vision, he said, "Lord, in my life, I've never eaten anything unclean. Me, to eat something forbidden, never." And God told him, "What I have cleaned, do not call unclean." Even when God persuaded him and he traveled to Cornelius, he was arrogant, entering the house. People waiting. I can imagine, I'm dramatizing. I'm putting his hand in his pocket and say, you know, we Jews, we don't relate with you Gentiles. He was going to minister to them. And he was still putting them down. You know, never in my life will I come into the house of a Jew or eat in the house of a Jew. But you know, you are fortunate. God sent me to you. He shouldn't have said that. Unlike Paul, the lawyer, who was able to adapt to relate with Gentiles, to relate with kings, to relate with all sorts of people. Let us be dynamic in the fulcrum, in the spectrum of people we relate with. So the early church, the first century church, had a problem, had a challenge of transforming from a Jewish church to a multiracial church. I'll go to the last one, 2 centuries, 19th stroke, 20th century. One major change the Church of Jesus Christ faced was transiting from a community church to a commuter church. Many centuries ago, there was a church for every community. And people only came to that church from the community. When we were going to plant a church in Northampton, UK, some years ago, 13 years ago now, by the grace of God, I remember we did a survey. I spent a number of weeks and we were going around for days praying and reconciling. And I observed so many churches, very, very big churches. They had no car parks. In a church that can seat 1,000, there will be a car park for maybe 5 people. The pastor and a few. And I asked why. And I was told, in those days, people walked to church. You didn't have to bring your car. The church was for the community. It was a community church. People will have to walk to the church. But that has since changed. Now, people travel 2 hours to our churches in UK. From London, from one end to the other, people travel on Sunday 1 hour, 1.5 hours. Even here in Nigeria, you know, in some of your churches, some people come 45 minutes every Sunday morning, isn't it? So it's no longer a community church. We have transformed to a commuter church. So every church should be positioned to welcome people, not only from your community, but from everywhere where they may want to come. That's why in some Orthodox churches, you still have the bell. How many people remember the bell? That somebody will go and pull at 5:30, it's time for prayer. It is to tell the community, time to come to church. So if you live in Aja, Lagos, and your church is in Ikeja, if the pastor in Ikeja ring the bell, will you hear in Aja? If you live in Lugbe, in Abuja, and your church is in Asokoro, can the pastor ring the bell and you hear from Olugbe? Things have changed. The church is not, especially in the cities and towns. Perhaps in the villages they are still. But in the cities and towns, the church 2 or so centuries ago transformed from a community church to a commuter church. So I've talked about the changes many years ago. Now, what are the current changes? What has changed in the 21st century? What has changed? What are the highlights of the contemporary times in which your church, my church, Jesus' church operates? Number one, like we said yesterday, age of the population has changed. As I'm speaking, please note your questions, send them to the appropriate channels. Very soon we'll be taking the Q and A like we did yesterday. Yesterday we emphasized the fact that members of the community now in Nigeria, this is Nigerian data, who are less than 25 years of age are 63% of the population. And I hazarded a guess that those who are under 30 are about 70%. What does that mean? It means we have a preponderance of young people. Our target audience really are young people. So if you are a pastor and you don't have young people, it's self-limiting. We also shared the statistics yesterday, which affects me, which is that those who are 55 and above are 7% of Nigerians. Between 55 and 64 are 4%. 65 and above, can you imagine? 65 and above are 3%. So if you're above 65 as a pastor, you are amongst the 3% of Nigerians. If you are above 55, but you are not yet 65, you are one of the 7% of Nigerians. I've said that, but I mean it, that the demography has changed. Oh, the ocean in which we are fishing has changed. The fish we are fishing now, maybe they are no longer tilapia. They have become all different types of fish. And we must understand that what has changed significantly. I want to mention three. One is age of the population. Pastor, you need to recognize that the people you are fishing for are not just your age mates. I tell my brothers, how many people of my age would like to change church now? We are set in our ways. Even if the church is not good, I've been there for 25 years, we'll manage until Jesus will come. But the younger ones are more dynamic. Why? They go to school, so they change environment because of school. They change environment because of their career. They change their environment because of marriage. So they are more mobile. And so the church should be positioned to attract them, to retain them, and to make them fulfill in our churches. So what has changed? One, age of the population. Number two, technology has changed. A very huge change in technology. I'll give a few statistics. Yesterday I emphasized the fact that Nigeria's population this year, as estimated by the United Nations, is 206 million. 206 million Nigerians this year. But out of them, those who use the mobile phone, are 186 million. That is 90%. But you know, really, the issue is that some people use two phones. I know, Pastor, some of you have three phones. Isn't it? I see people carrying two, three phones. I said, this is very clumsy. Better to have one phone, maybe two SIMs, because of network. But some people carry two phones. Have you seen people carrying three phones before? So that accounts for the fact that 186 million Nigerians use mobile phones. So instead of using town crier, as we used to do before, why don't you send text? It will get to them in the minute. Oh, service tomorrow is no longer 10 to 12. It is 9 to 10. Pastor XYZ Center. Because you can reach them, 90% of Nigeria's population use mobile phone. Technology has changed. Number two, under technology, internet users, as at this year, they are estimated to be 126 million. That is 61% of Nigerians are internet users. Finally, under technology, Facebook users are estimated to be 27 million. That is 13% of Nigerians. Those who are on the Facebook, 27 million. And this statistics is for the entire nation. If you get the same statistics for those under 30, in most cases it will be almost 100%. Because old people do not bother about phones. When they have phones, they are not smartphones, they are dull phones. So, age of the people you are ministering to has changed. The technology they use has changed. Number three that has changed, COVID-19 pandemic. None of us bargained for COVID-19. All the same, it came. The entire country was locked down in different shapes and forms in different states. Now we do social distancing. Somebody greeted me maybe about 2 months ago, and I would like to say it exactly as he said. He said, "Pastor, Eku Owolomio." In other words, like you used to greet mothers of new babies in those days when there was no Pampers. They wash and wash the nappies for their children, always putting your water, your hand in water. Now you are not washing nappies. How many times do you wash your hands? That's the change. And so suddenly we found that we could not come to church. In many of our centers, for 3 months, there has been no meeting in the church auditorium. Thank God it's been relaxed. In some of the centers in some states, they started last week. Some are starting this week. Many will be starting next week and in future. We are waiting Lagos and Ogun states. So suddenly, we found out that the building was not the church. That the church, there are people in different locations. And if they can't come physically, you can reach them virtually. And so it has opened the eyes of many people today that you don't have to come to church to be in church. You can own online worship service, online Bible study, online prayer meeting, online leadership meeting, online seminar and training, online discipleship, online counseling. In those days, "Pastor, when will you be in the office? Want to come?" Now you can't even come. So we will talk on phone. And if you want it to be encrypted to secure the confidentiality, use WhatsApp so that people will not be able to eavesdrop if you are talking confidentially to your counselee as a pastor. So 3 things have changed: age, 2, technology, 3, COVID-19. So what should be our response to these changes? I would like to mention 4 things with the acronym YTCP. I'm sure you remember TCP. YTCP. If you don't remember anything, please remember those 4 things that I would like to share before we end today. 1, the why. I'm talking of, you know, somebody asked in the question yesterday, what should be our strategies because of the contemporary times? I'm suggesting 4 things amongst others. And like I said yesterday, "Pastor, go and wait on the Lord. Go and pray. What must I do in my center?" I'm just giving you tips. And I trust that God will breathe on these tips to help you to prosper you in your local church and to prosper us as a church nationally and globally. 1 is why. Which stands for youth. Youth. In other words, I'm saying, "Pastor, going forward, you cannot continue to neglect the youth. You cannot continue to assume they don't exist." One of my beloved brothers, co-worker in God's vineyard, when we are talking, he would say, he's talking about youth, some of whom are married, some of whom are managing directors of their firms, some of whom are chief executives in organizations. That is self-limiting. We are there. They are those children. You look at somebody who is 35 years old as a child. So what do you do with the youth? I said involve the youth. 1, put the youth in the forefront. We'll be sharing more on this as we end today by the grace of God. Put the youth in the forefront. Why did I say that? They are in a better position to minister to the 70% you are trying to reach. Don't forget, those under 30 are 70% of Nigerians. They know how to reach them. There is a local adage that the contemporary rat and the contemporary, contemporary hare knows how to hunt and catch the contemporary rat. So, they know how to minister to people in their age group. They speak their language. I remember our daughter many years ago when she was in the university, and we were talking, and she said, "Daddy, chill, chill." I said, "I'm not hot." "What do you mean?" I said, "Hold on, hold on." She taught me that chill means, I know, cool, cool temper. Pastors, many of us cannot speak the language of this youth. But if you put youth like them in the forefront, they can connect. They speak their language. They know what they feel, how they feel. They know the pressures they are going through. Some of the pressures we went through when we were youth, these people are not going through. They are going through different sets of pressures that I have no idea about. He that wears the shoe knows where the shoe pinches. So the youth, when the youth is a minister, he knows what the 70% are thinking of. When the man smiles, he knows why he's smiling. When the lady frowns, he knows why she's frowning. After all, most of us started pastoring when we're in our 30s. The average age of pastors in Nicolaitan Church today is middle 50s. But many of you started when you were in your 30s. I started, by the grace of God, I started ministering at 34, but I started pastoring at 38 plus. So will I now say a 34-year-old person is omoye? When I was ministering to a congregation of about 500 at 34, ministering, not yet a pastor, but invited to minister to a congregation of about 500 at age 34. So will I now say somebody who is 34 is a small boy? Or a young lady that is 28 is a small girl? Involve the youth. Number two, bring the youth to the core leadership. Bring them to your pastoral team. Don't just leave them in the media, in the technical. Let them be where decisions are made. The advantage of that is that before you make decisions, they can tell you, this is how it will affect the youth. You can sound them out. They know the impact of your decisions on the youth. And you can have a feedback. This is the way the youth are thinking. This is what they are saying. Number three, give the youth a platform to minister. Pastor, don't monopolize the pulpit. You preach every Sunday for three months. Yes, I know you have rev. But there are younger people who can communicate rev in a way that would impact the 70% who are youth. I remember the testimony of one of our youth leaders who spoke to me some time ago. He said, when his pastor made him the youth leader, and they were holding the first service, he said, every service, the pastor will come very, very early and will sit at the back to watch him minister. And after some time, he stopped coming. he has developed confidence. Yeah, this is truly my disciple. I don't have to be there. I know he preaches balanced doctrine. And the youth leader I'm talking about today is a youth pastor working mightily for the Lord in the church today. So, pastor, entrust the youth with your pulpit. Okay, you may make mistakes. Correct them. Give them the platform to minister, to develop the confidence. Carve out a space for the youth, either through a youth-led service or an outright youth church. You want to hear something? I've said it before, but let me say it so you can make jest of me if you are. Some years ago, we were talking in a meeting, innocent meeting with some youth, and one of the youth said, we don't like to listen to people who are 60 years in their 60s. And that was the year I was going to be 60 years old. He didn't know. That young man didn't know. I just looked at myself. Oh, pastor, you are getting old. He said, That's why they go to churches pastored by people who are 25, 32, 33. And those are the ones who have the highest congregation in Ibadan, in Abuja, in Lagos. Past churches led by young pastors. Because they can connect. I said, carve out a space for the youth, a youth-led service or an outright youth church. Such services will be initiated, planned, and executed by the youth. It's not that you put them there and then you now come with your flowing ground to minister on Sunday. No, let them initiate, plan, and execute. They will falter initially, but you find that they will find their feet, and you see they start to attract their kind. Such services. Are you here, Pastor? No interpretation. The truth, my brothers and sisters, which is bitter, is that when you have interpretation of your messages from the pulpit, you are interpreting for the benefit of 7%. The over 70% don't need interpretation. They want to hear you in the, that is, if you're in a city or town. If you're in the village, it might be different. So have a service where there is no interpretation. That will attract more youth. I can assure you. They told me they don't like a service where you say, Oluwa soyipe, God said so. And let me tell you, for those who know, that's how I started. I'm sure you have heard my story. Maybe you are too serious. Let me tell you my experience. When I first started ministering, I was an interpreter, official interpreter to a church which had 1,000 member congregation, and my age was 30. And so one day, I was newly born again, 2 years old as a believer, and I was standing on the pulpit, congregation where people came from outside the country for the convention, and I was ministering with the pastor. And one day the pastor said, in Yoruba, pardon me, he said, open your Bible to the book of Jacob. That's what the Yoruba Bible says. And I, standing by the pastor, said, open your Bible to the book of Jacob. I didn't know the Yoruba described the book of James as Jacob. I just transliterated. And so people looked at me. I said, yes, open your Bible to the book of Jacob. Hallelujah. Thank God. Here I am today. All the glory to God. Thank God for that opportunity at 30 that I was ministering as an interpreter. So I'm talking about the youth. Last, identify and minister to the needs of the youth. Your need is not their need. Their need is not your need. Their needs are in 4 areas, and I will quickly mention the 4 areas. Number one, relationships. How to choose a life partner. How to know who God wants you to marry. Staying chaste as a single without defiling yourself. Preparing for marriage. And what to do in courtship. This is of paramount importance to anybody who is between age 18 and 25. That's what's in their heart. Until they get married, that is what they are thinking of. So you must minister to them in relationships. Number two, their academics. How do they choose their career? How do they get admission? How do they pass examination? How do they succeed in the academics? Number three, career and entrepreneurship. They have finished university. They have finished higher institution. How do they get a job? Do they need some finishing? Do they need to do some professional courses? Do they need to acquire some skills? Yes, they want to start a business. How do they start? Where do they get money? Career and entrepreneurship. And finally, spiritual. The Bible says in 3 John verse 2, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. So, strategies, what do we do? I said we are going to mention 4. The first is youth. Can we say youth? Youth. Number 2. I said T. That's technology. Pastor, embrace technology. Embrace digital technology. I had one time recently BBC. BBC. It is not Believers Bible Class. BBC pastor. Born before computer. Pastors who were born before computer started becoming popular. When I visited the first computer room in 1973, it was a mainframe. The computer was as tall as about 10 feet. If you stay one place, you won't be able to see the other person there. 1973. Now computer is in every pocket. So you need to embrace technology. Every church in the city should be on digital media. Have a website. Be on social media. Live stream your services or pre-record and release. That is what COVID-19 has taught all of us. In UK, I read during this lockdown, one church said after they removed the lockdown that 80% of first-timers, first of all, worship with them online. They audited them online. Can I go? Is this pastor? Does he have the word? Is there worship? They will watch you for several weeks and then choose to come. And so every pastor should be digital. Be a 21st century pastor. Do not be a BBC pastor that was born before computer. Every church should endeavor to have a screen in the city, video announcement, electronic flyer, internet programs. In those days, I remember as a local pastor, when we wanted to do any program, we would print flyer, hard copy of flyer. And I used to, from 5,000 for 1,000 copies, before my very eyes, it became 20,000 for 1,000 copies. And you go to distribute in restaurants on the streets. Whereas now you design an electronic flyer, you punch, in 1 minute, it gets to 1,000 people. And maybe what you spend is 10,000 naira for the design or 20,000 naira. Oh, be digital pastor. Do not remain an analog pastor. Embrace new things. I'm still talking about technology. Do you know that in those days when IMSS were introduced, people resisted IMSS. People who started IMSS were sent out of the church in Europe. So the church has always been faced with challenges, and it depends on your response. Now, IMSS are no longer popular. They were popular for maybe 300 or so years. Not many churches sing IMSS again. But when IMSS were introduced many centuries ago, those who were singing IMSS, they were sent out of the church. Don't come and corrupt us. Are we here, Pastor? Somebody in New Covenant Church told me that the pastor told him that Bible on your phone is evil. When I'm preaching, I want you to use hard copy Bible. Don't use Bible on phone. I said, that is an analog pastor. Things have changed. What you can do on a small phone, 100 Bibles cannot do it. Different translations of a Bible and in that small phone. Up till recently, and please don't make jest of me, I was still carrying my big concordance and Bible dictionary. And our daughter told me, Pastor, just Google. And now when I'm preparing a message, I don't use concordance again. They are gathering dust. You just Google, it will give you where it was said in the Bible, who said it, how many places it was said in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, in less than 1 second. So you now say members of your congregation should not read the Bible on phone because, do you know that even before phone, the first Bible was written on scroll, leather scroll, before it became books, and now digital. Embrace new things. I've talked about technology. Next is cell. The early church not only met centrally, they met in small units. You can see that all in the book of Acts. The COVID-19 has told us the importance of cell. Our general overseer, I'm sure you know, has always been emphasizing the cell. Yes, the response in different centers has been varied. But I'm sure, Pastor, you know, in the last 3 months,
You who have not had cells, you are at a disadvantage.
No doubt about that. Those of us who had cells were just enjoying because we were used to gathering in homes in different locations. So embrace the cell. And people have difficulty with this cell. What was the difficulty? Before, we were calling it house group or house cell. Later, we called it discipleship group or discipleship cell. You see that in both, there was the word cell. Cell is a smaller unit of a big whole. So now we say the cell system is not limited to houses. It's cell meeting in houses, in shops, in offices, in markets, everywhere. So if it meets in your home, fine, it's a cell. But you cannot avoid having the cell. I'm sure you have learned that. So like Paul said to Aquila and Priscilla, greet the church in your house. I want to tell you, if you are watching me or listening to me today, please greet the church in your house. Lastly, I said we are going to talk about YTCP. Y for youth, T for technology, C for cell, finally P for packaging. There's a lot of difference between the product and the packaging. The product is the content, but the packaging is what gives the appeal. When you don't like the packaging, you won't touch the product. So as a church, we need to be properly packaged. To the glory of God, in this church, because of the grace God has given us with our leaders, the general overseer, our associate general overseer, we have the undiluted word of God. We have a holy leadership that is biblical. No doubt about that. Our product is good. All the glory to God. But you need to package yourself. I'm sure if you are looking for a product, before you buy, you will look at the package. Is it inviting? Is it appealing? So how do we package ourselves? I have a few suggestions. One, excellence. My definition of excellence is doing things the best way possible. Doing things the best way possible. This is a life story that happened in the last few weeks. One of our members, I didn't know she was attending New Covenant Church in one of the cities. So during the lockdown, we were talking. And she said she was in New Covenant Church. I said, okay, I didn't know. Young lady in her 20s. That she is now attending another church. I said, why? When she told me her experience in one of her branches, I was ashamed of myself. She said the pastor will come unprepared, come on Sunday with slippers. And this lady is a student of the university. She was not inspired by the pastor. And she left for another church. So I persuaded her, please go back. I gave her three or four addresses of branches of New Covenant Church all around her that she could try. So, excellence in the venue, excellence in equipment. I'm sure you know that the youth are impressed by media, by good sound. Pastor, thank God for the money you spend on welfare. God bless you for taking care of the needy. Take care of the media. Invest on technical audio equipment, on media equipment. So when the youth come, what they are used to in their campuses all over, they will get in your church. Excellence in logistics. Start the church service on time and on time. Some people think Sunday is for the Lord. You are unspiritual if you have any other appointment for Sunday. If you come at 8, you leave at 3. Then you only get people who are not busy. Those who are not successful will come to your church. If they have to be in church from 8 to 3. But those who are busy, they want to be in Abuja today on Sunday. They want to go to Port Harcourt tomorrow. They want a short Holy Ghost inspired service for them to go to carry them for the rest of the week. Make your service short. Simple and short. Worship. Good voice, good training. Good instrumentalist. Message, let it be well researched. If you are going to minister to the 70%, you can't just be talking about what happened to Peter in the Acts of Apostles or to Ananias. Relate it with contemporary times. Be a reader. A reader is a leader. You'll be able to connect with the people if you know what is happening around them, and you can bring it to your message. Let your doctrine be balanced. Let your language. Now remember that all that you do is not only available for your church. If you are media, it is available all over the world. So be conscious of that. Watch your language. Watch your mannerism. Watch your jokes. Watch your testimonies. Some people may give testimonies that reveal secrets that people told you in counseling, because you know the person is not sitting in your church, but the person may watch you on YouTube. So my prayer is that all of us would be well positioned for the church to be the church that will operate and thrive and prosper in these contemporary times. God bless you.